I think that's the challenge for all of us, is that that can become a hungry ghost following you around.
Do you know that ghost who follows you in Super Mario? If you're not looking at it, he's chasing you, and then you turn around and face it, and he stops. That's what it feels like.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we ask, what if you're not exactly where you thought you'd be by now?
Uh-oh.
Hello there, my friend.
Hello. My hair is
wild. What's
happening?
Your hair is looking cute.
No, it's looking a little wild, child.
No, I like it. I like your little pebbles ponytail that you got going.
Thanks.
I discovered this morning that there's no hairspray in my house because I share a home with a 16 and a half year old girl. And
they just come in and take your stuff.
And none of my stuff is my stuff anymore.
And there's no regard. Like, they're not like, hey, can I borrow this? Or... like, it's
what's she gonna do? Like, what's this chick gonna do when she goes to reach for the thing? Is she gonna be cool with the fact that it's not there? Do I care? I don't
think it crosses their mind. I think they say, I need hairspray, and there some is.
Totally. Well, how was your week besides griping about our teenage amazing daughters who are incredible?
They are incredible, honestly. My week's weekend. I mean, it's
being,
weekend.
I need us to replay for our listeners one of my favorite text interactions.
From ever. Me and you?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
great.
You texted me this week and you one morning and instead of saying hi, you said, how you living?
Oh, right.
And I said,
in Mansions and Benzes, courtesy of Biggie Smalls.
The notorious B.I.G. Yes. That's the only response that you should ever give to how you live in Mansions
right.
and Benzes.
I believe, actually, in an old episode, one of my cringes was that I asked you how you live in, and you responded like, good, or something.
Okay, but then how did you respond to me?
Oh, I forget. What did I say?
In middle-class homes and Honda Pilots.
That's how I'm living.
So that's how your week is going.
That's how my week is going. You're in Mansions and Benzes, and I'm in middle-class America, surrounded by 50% Trumpers.
Well, listen, I have a hotter hype for you today that I'm actually super curious. This one, I'm not sure what you're going to say.
Oh, wow.
So let's start there, and then we'll get into our main topic. Are you ready for hotter hype?
Yeah. As a reminder, I go into this real blind. Like, I don't even know what's coming down the pipeline.
That's right.
That's what she said.
All right. Yep. So, nope. Remember, we don't make those jokes anymore, Michael Scott.
Right.
Okay. Today's hotter hype is the trend sleep maxing. Have you heard this term? Sleep maxing?
You keep me fresh and hip. I knew it. Fresh and hip, like the teens are saying.
You saying fresh and hip is what keeps you fresh and hip.
100%.
FYI. All right. So sleep maxing. There is a growing cultural trend that is rejecting hustle culture. Hustle culture being all about, you know, you wake up at 5, you work out, then you're doing all the things and you go to sleep at midnight and you only need 5 hours of sleep because actually, if you want to succeed, you have to kill yourself for it and hustle. Pendulum, as it does when things are not healthy, has now swung all the way to the opposite extreme to what we're calling sleep maxing, which is the prioritization of quality sleep as a part of your fundamental wellness. And actually, there was a blog I found that summarizes 2025 is all about prioritizing rest, and not just rest, but quality rest. All right. So far, what's controversial about sleep?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. The term sleep maxing actually really refers to maximizing sleep via gadgets, technology, but also rituals and environment tweaks. And so if you've ever seen the Oura Ring or what TJ wears, which is the Woo, people are wearing a lot of technology that's constantly tracking your biometric data and telling you whether your heart rate has changed and, you know, your breathing has changed, and therefore, and it's actually even getting more detailed than that. TJ just went and did a blood test that he is supplying to Whoop that now also is tracking through the data any shifts in other biological changes in him. You can tell I know a lot about this. But so what's happening is because of sleep maxing and this idea that like the data is showing you that you're not getting good sleep, there's been an uptick in wearable technologies, sleep rings, advanced sleep trackers. It's really focused around heart rate variability. That's what these technologies do. They're measuring your heart rate variability. And so the wellness category, because of all this tech, is shifting towards personalized, measurable, everyday behaviors. Because when you're tracking your heart rate variability and you go in and say, well, yesterday I drank 3 glasses of wine,
right,
or I shared my bed with someone, or I went to sleep an hour later than I normally do, the tech is coming back and saying, well, when you drink 3 glasses of wine or you sleep in bed with someone who's rolling around, your sleep habit is being affected. And so yeah, that's how you can
remind me.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how you make changes, because the tech is also reminding you of what the changes do. All right. So what people are liking about the practice. In addition to the tech part, it's really about prioritizing self-care, upgrading your environment to create a better sleep, you know, situation. So cooler rooms, blackout curtains, weighted blankets, sound machines. You know, I cannot sleep without my white noise. Brown noise. Mine is brown noise, FYI, which you have an issue with when we share a room. Or no, you like it.
I have brown noise. I bought a machine because I like the brown noise. I don't like white noise.
I made fun of my brown noise app when we were in Paso Robles.
That's incorrect. You're 100%
incorrect. I dreamt it. So the environment being more conducive is one tweak people are making. I already talked about the gadgets. And so you're seeing a lot of social media influencers showing all of their sleep maxing getup, what their room is looking like, the new comforter, the gadget they're wearing, and it's becoming a big trend. Good stuff is that it's making us more aware of what we need to be healthy, which is good sleep. It's shifting the wellness narrative away from, you know, external like supplements or detoxes. It's saying, no, sleep is critical to our wellness. And what I really do love is this shift away from hustle culture, which I have never been able to ever stomach. The idea that being good means that you're constantly pushing yourself. Here's some of the hype signals. I'm going to put them out there and then you get to weigh.
Oh yeah, I'll pick.
The concept is solid, but you know, us type A people, especially with data and gadgets, can lean into perfectionism even in this wellness area, right? So there is some anxiety that the data creates around, oh my God, I have to wake up and see, did I sleep enough? Oh, I didn't do this perfectly. I've got to be extra vigilant around the data that's reminding me about my sleep. The other thing is that, you know, I think for me, and I say this to TJ all the time, I get nervous when he wakes up and I say, how did you sleep? And he has to check his phone to tell me how he slept.
Right.
And so for someone who's so interested in intuition and self-awareness and self-sensing, I worry sometimes that gadgets and data are moving us away from just trusting what our bodies are telling us, trusting what your mood and your energy is telling you, and more towards this really linear data-driven, well, the app tells me I slept well, so I must have. Well, maybe the app had an error, or, you know, there could be a million reasons why the app's telling you you slept well and your body's telling you you're not. So my biggest criticism or critique or flag around tech and sleep maxing is, are we moving further away from trusting ourselves, from needing external, you know, from our internal validation telling us what's true versus the external? So that is sleep maxing. Bean, hot or hype?
I have and always will be a advocate of quality sleep. I don't need a ring to tell me. I have always been that way with my children. I've been very rigid about nap schedules. I was always very rigid because I am a big believer that sleep should be like a is a foundational piece of our wellness. So anything that's going to give more attention to that, I'm going to give it super hot. I love that it's moving away from hustle culture. I love that there's that anyone's even paying attention to it. Like, I always love how the Europeans take naps in the middle of the day and they prioritize their wellness and they don't hustle in the same way we do, yet they are successful anyway.
Right.
And I don't mind the technology addition. I hear what you're saying, and I still think people are aware. I don't love that TJ has to check it right away, but I still think if he couldn't check it, he could probably still tell you how he felt. And I think that anything that can enhance your knowledge about your wellness is typically a good thing, as long as you don't become too reliant. So I'm hot. I'm hot, hot, hot for sleep.
You're hot, hot, hot for sleep. I am going to say hype.
Oh, snap.
The terminology, the technology, the over-reliance on something outside of yourself to tell you how you're feeling. I am all for moving away from hustle culture. Please, people, sleep. But do we need to call it sleep maxing? Just, you know, remember that your body needs sleep. Check in with your body. Stop listening to the anxiety that tells you you have to be pushing yourself 24/7 to be valuable. I don't know that we need to be sleep maxing. I'm going to give it a hype.
All right. But I think there are a lot of people who don't realize the effects of things like alcohol or screen, all the things that then you're getting it. And you're like, oh, wow. Now I see it in the data.
Very true. That is very true.
Thank you.
I agree with you. All right. That's our hotter hype, guys. What do you think about it? Let us know. You know that you can always email us at MauriandMelissa@gmail.com. Not only to tell us what you thought about the episode, but to submit listener questions, which we will get to at the end of all of our episodes that don't feature a guest. So please submit your questions to us. We love to hear from you and answer your questions. And also, before we get into our main topic, the best way you can support this show is to share the episode and leave us a review. So if you could take a second to do that after listening, we so appreciate it. Bean,
yes.
Ready to talk about the main event.
Always.
All right. I feel like we should give them some background. Yeah. So Melissa was out here visiting in California. We were sitting out in my patio and we were talking about the general sense of, would you say, disappointment, light grade disappointment that comes when you feel like life isn't exactly the way you thought it would be by this point in time. Now, whatever point in time means to you, it could be age, it could be time invested in a relationship or a career, but like when you thought it was going to look a certain way by a certain time and it hasn't, it can feel a little, it's a bummer.
Yeah. It was the, like, are we there yet of life?
Yes.
Are we there yet?
In her amazing ability to come up with awesome slogans.
I'll take
that one. Came up with a name for our next book. What was it going to be?
It's going to be, I thought I would be there by now.
I thought I would be there by now. And we were like, you know what? First of all, I thought that was such a good title. So if you see that book coming out the next year. Yeah. But you know what? I think it's just so relatable, that term. I thought I'd be there by now. Just like, actually, if you're listening, how does even hearing those words feel right now? I thought I'd be there by now. Oh, 100%. Like for me, when you said it, I was like, yep.
I keep thinking it's really relevant for people in our stage of life where we're like in our mid 40s. And it's like a real kind of, I feel like almost an awakening point, but really it works anywhere. I mean, there are people in their 20s, like you said, who have been sitting in a relationship thinking they'd be engaged by now, or, you know, someone in their early 30s who thought they'd get pregnant easily and is still waiting. And, you know, it's a long journey and you're confused as to why it hasn't happened in the way you dreamed it would happen.
Especially listen, I really feel strongly that our listeners are all really devoted to working on themselves, to self-awareness, to growth, to evolution. Otherwise, you wouldn't be drawn to this podcast. And so I think it's even more painful and shitty when you feel like you've been doing all the things, Like, I read all the self-help books. I did all the things. You know what? I let them. I whatever, right? Like, I did all the things that people told me to, and it's still not happening. What'd you say? I sleep maxed. Right, right. I trauma cord. I did all the things, and it's still not working out. So, listen, today's not going to be a lot of data. We don't have our lab coats on. We're not talking at you. This is just two best friends chatting about this and see if you relate to any of it. But there will be some takeaways because I can't help but be a coach around how to process
this. My favorite part of this pod is when you coach me.
The tangible takeaway tools, as Melissa likes to call them. Bean, can you think of something in life right now that feels like this for you that you're willing to share?
Yes. I think I shared it a couple episodes back. I don't know if I thought I'd be there by now, but I sort of awoke and was like, wait, what? It's my career. As much as I adore my boss and she's literally the greatest human being on the planet, I still thought that I wouldn't be so confused about my journey ahead in terms of career and finances as I actually am. I thought by 43, I would have more clarity on that. And for me, it kind of feels like I'm almost like in the beginning.
At 30, did you imagine you'd have a career by 43?
No, because I was in the deep, I was stay-at-home momming, and that was my goal for sure. It was my path. It was all I wanted. And then as my children got older and I was like, wait a second, this isn't forever. I mean, you're always a mother, but you're not always a mother to toddlers. And that's a very different role than being a mother to teenagers, which is a different role than being a mother to adults, I'm sure. No, I didn't. So then right. I got on this kick of like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to like be an executive.
Don't elaborate yet. I just want to put that on the side because we're going to come back to this question I just asked you about, like, was it always the dream?
What about you, Bean? Are you willing to share? Or do you not want to talk about it?
I could talk. Listen, I'm open to talk about anything. You know, I think that I thought I'd be there by now is super career oriented. I'm trying to use words that are nice to myself right now.
Be nice to yourself.
A very successful and dynamic career in PR and change and crisis management. You know, I worked for the largest PR firm in the world. I was constantly in a different country. I was in these rooms where shit was happening and decisions were being made. And my soul was dying slowly because I wasn't fully living my purpose. And so I decided to come to this side with more consciousness and awareness and be a guide and a teacher and write the book and build a platform around self-trust. And I think the me that dreamed this, who was flying from Amsterdam to Singapore to Mumbai, thought that that next phase was also going to include that dynamicism. Yeah. And I was manifesting that, right? Like I was like, it's going to look like this. I'm going to be on stages giving talks constantly. I'm going to be still in boardrooms. It's true that I am. I do go on stages and give talks. I am a consultant to many, many organizations who, you know, I advise the CEO of lots of companies. I think I thought it would look different. It would be more expanded. It would be more by now. You know, another example of that is the book. The book is getting so much amazing praise from people who read it, but getting people to read it is not something that I expected would take so much time and effort. So my be there by now has to do with the way I envisioned my message and my platform growing and in the time I thought it would grow and feeling totally honestly, you guys, moments of disappointment, moments of feeling like a failure, moments of like, oh, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You were really naive.
Proud of you for being open and vulnerable about this. I think that's really hard and I'm proud of you. And I think that it's more challenging because then that mentality shows up for you when you're trying to do your work sometimes, which feels more defeating.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the challenge for all of us who feel this, I thought I'd be there by now, is that that can become a hungry ghost following you around.
Yeah.
You know, it's so loud. So it's so constantly trying to get your attention. Like, you didn't do it yet. You didn't do it yet. And God, that's so distracting and causes so much pain.
Do you know that ghost who follows you in Super Mario? If you're not looking at it, he's chasing you. And then you turn around and face it and he stops. That's what it feels like. It's constantly following you along. Me showing up every day with you, I'm like, what are you doing? Are you doing this right? Do you even know what you're doing? Is this what you're supposed to be doing? It's that little Super Mario ghost with those thoughts.
Well, this is so beautiful because you just said if you turn around and face it, it stops. And I think this episode is about turning around and facing it.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah, we're going to face it. Okay. So I want to break this down into a couple of steps so we can all metabolize this and come out of here feeling better about not being there by now.
Okay.
The first thing for me is in my own life, and when a client shows up with this feeling, is this idea of like, for the sake of what? You thought you'd be there by now and that your life, your career, your relationship would look a certain way for the sake of what? What is the larger why behind what you were hoping to manifest by this point?
I mean, I think mine really, which has been a lingering thought for me for a long time, is my own financial independence that I have never had in my entire life. So right. This career thing is really just a vehicle towards that.
Financial independence.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So for me, it's once I became aware that my purpose was to have more impact on people and their sense of self and their ability to trust their own wisdom. What I want more than anything is for that impact to be as far-reaching as possible. That my soul wants as many people to be liberated by this message and this work as possible. So that's the for the sake of what for both of us.
Okay.
You know why I asked that? Because our ego then attaches itself to how we're going to make the for the sake of what happen.
Okay.
So for you, I am ready for financial independence is a very different statement than I am going to have a career as an executive as a pathway to my financial independence.
Okay. I'm ready to counter whenever you're up.
Very different things, right?
100%. So
for me, I am ready for my message to reach as many people as possible is very different than I am an international bestseller with a speaking career that has me traveling the world right now.
I don't have to attach it to that, but I am going to attach, my ego is going to attach to something to achieve my goal. I can't just say I want financial independence and then sit back and let the universe take over. I have to
do those two different things. Sit back and let the universe take over is very different than being so attached to one way for it to happen, right? Because the way that things occur is when you take action and then have faith. That's the alchemy. You have to take action, the universe shows up for you. You take action, the universe shows up for you. So in no way am I ever going to be a proponent of sit back. Like, that's not even the way I live my life. So no, but we can get very attached to a way. We can decide that it's going to look a specific way and attach ourselves to that specific way. And that, I'm just going to say, my hypothesis is what causes the delay.
Oh, because you're so hyper-focused on that one direction.
The one way of manifesting the bigger purpose. So listen, I think what that opens up is how can we shift more towards I am ready for whatever that purpose statement is and less focused on by doing X, Y, Z, and this is the way that I know it's going to be successful. That I think is part of the trust and faith part of this journey that we're all on. And I think that when you're in a situation where you feel like you want to shake your fist at the universe and be like, what the hell? Why not yet? why hasn't it worked out the way I want? I think that always, if that's the experience you're having, part of your soul's lesson is in trust and faith, is in allowing less ego control of how you get there and more, okay, I'm in the river. I know that this is what I want because this is the impact. This is what I want. And this is the purpose of what I want in my life. The core desire is financial independence. I'm going to show up every day and do what I know how to do in that day to get closer to it. But I'm not going to attach myself to one way, to one pathway of getting this thing.
Okay. Okay. So apply this. Let's just use my situation. And you can apply this broadly. So I just continue to show up where I am and stay the course. That's the secret, is staying the course.
You show up and you do what is in your toolbox, in your knowing that you can do in that given day without the story, this is the only way. This is what I'm doing right now. Tomorrow, if another thing shows up that offers me a different pathway towards financial independence, I will also follow that path.
Okay. And I guess I bet also when people are really focused on the one pathway and another opportunity does show itself, they're probably not always open or paying attention.
Ding, ding, ding.
Now, what we're getting at, I got you.
Yes. This is where the universe goes, I'm giving you seven different ways.
Right.
But your ego is so attached to one way, you cannot perceive the others. And that is not co-creation anymore.
Right. Now I see where you're going. Can you turn that around and apply it to yourself, do you feel?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
for
great.
Me, it's like, what are the things that I am saying yes to every day? I get approached, you know, because you're the amazing person on the other end who helps make it happen. But I get approached by random people to do things with them. Come talk to me on my podcast. Can you show up at this event? Can you come be at this dinner? I think I used to put it in a category of how much impact is this going to have?
Right.
Is this a big enough audience for me?
Right.
Is this worth my time, quote unquote?
Right. Right.
My transition has been, you want to co-create with the universe. The universe is putting these opportunities ahead of you to spread your message. Does it feel good to talk about your message to folks? Yes. Then the answer is yes.
Right.
And keep staying open to all the different ways that's showing up for you. All right. I don't want to belabor that point.
No, but you are, I will say you are living to that. I mean, you are getting these random requests and you're like, yep, tell them, yep, tell them yes.
Yeah, totally.
Kudos.
I don't want to belabor that point because I want to get to a couple of other things.
Okay.
The second thing that I use the most when I feel drained or sad or disappointed by, I thought I'd be there by now, is evidence. And you know, I love evidence as a tool.
So do I. You sure do.
Evolution and self-trust. Self-trust, really, right? And what I mean by that is like, think about a time in your past where you wanted something with your whole soul. And then I want you to think about how that worked out. Like for you, Bean, it was these amazing children that you've wanted since the minute I've met you, which is prior to even, you know, being married or pregnant.
Right, right.
And there were moments in that journey for you where with some of them, it wasn't looking like it was possible or it was taking longer than you expected. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Fertility stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, when I say look for evidence, what it does is it reminds the body and the mind, oh, actually, there has been times in the past where I have wanted something with my whole heart and soul, and it has worked out, not in the timing I thought it would, not exactly in the way I thought it would, but look at where I ended up, or look at what I received in my life.
It's my babies. And I always say, like, these are all the babies I was meant to have too. And on top of that, I say that about my middle one. It took me like, I don't, it was like just not a fun process, but like, I wouldn't have gotten that one. And she enlightens me every single day of my life.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So using evidence, for me, I always go back to, I never thought when I was at Edelman, the agency I was at, making the money I was making, supporting my kids by myself financially, there was ever a pathway to making that money working for myself, making that money talking about self-trust and intuition versus crisis management for Starbucks, right? I never imagined that was real, but I wanted it with all my heart and soul. And so then I look at my life right now and I'm like, oh, you literally are doing that. Not in the way you thought you would. It's not in the way I thought I would. I left, I started my own consulting firm, and I started doing things in that consulting firm that I thought were the quickest path to success. But guess what? They were too similar to what I was doing at Edelman. And right. So my soul was like, uh-uh, we're going to keep pushing you until it is totally aligned to the truth of your spirit and to your purpose. And that evidence is like a life raft for me. When I'm feeling lost in this forest or ocean, to keep the analogy alive, when I'm feeling lost in the ocean of self-doubt and holy shit, it hasn't happened by now, evidence shows up as a life raft and is like, not so fast. Look at the past. Look at how it has worked out.
And I think you just said something that made me realize another issue we have with our egos is that we do often look to the quickest path. Mm-hmm. That we don't have the patience. And in this hustle culture, you're like, this one's the fastest way to get there. So I'm just going to take that one. But that's often the incorrect path. I'm like, I'm just going to be an executive tomorrow.
Which is honestly the third and last piece of this puzzle for today, which is this term that I want to make as practical and pragmatic in 5 minutes as I can.
Do it.
Which is trusting divine timing.
Oh, that's the hardest part for me.
The hardest part. And you just said it. It was like, oh, our egos want it right away, right? I'm working with this healer here. His name is Michael Singer. He's amazing. And he's very funny. And he's always kind of laughing when I share things that he's like, I just want you to see the preposterousness in the thing you're saying. And it helps me because it brings levity to something that I feel is so painful. And he's always making me look at how impatient I am, like how much I am not willing to just take a pause, how hard pause is for me. So I think if you relate, then divine timing is really challenging. And I want to make it practical because that word divine throws people off. If you feel like it's too woo-woo because you're trusting in the unseen, let me say it to you differently. Divine timing, just pragmatically, is when preparation meets opportunity meets purpose.
Yeah.
So let's just break that apart. Preparation meaning you have gained the life experience, the know-how, you've built the foundation of the house.
Yeah.
And that takes time. And our ego wants to make us feel like, I already know. I know it. But there is.
Or I don't know it. I need it. I need it right now.
Yeah.
You know I don't know it, but I need it. Like it has to happen or everything's going to go up in smoke.
Yeah. But there's such a big difference. And I think I don't know it, then great. If you don't know it, then you need the preparation. You need the experience, or else I'm telling you from experience, the opportunity shows up. And you don't handle it the right way.
Right.
So preparation, even if you feel like I know it, I just want to say there is a difference between an intellectual understanding of something and a full body knowing of it, an experiential understanding of something. So just know right now, if it's not working out exactly the way you thought in this moment, it's because you're still in the preparation phase. And that's because what the universe wants for you, the loving higher consciousness, whatever you call it, what it wants for you is for you to achieve your desire, because it wants you to live your purpose. That's why your soul is here. And so when we are prepared, what we have to trust is then the opportunity arises. Then that's when we start to get given the chance to show up and show out. Here's what I know. Here's what I can do. Here's what I'm here to say.
Here's what my experience can tell me.
Yes. And then when the opportunity arises, it is when you are on this path to total consciousness and self-trust and living the life you're meant to live, the opportunity must be aligned to your purpose. So for example, this just happened to me this week. I didn't even tell you this. I got a job offer.
What?
Yeah. Inside of a pretty successful corporation in the tech space. What? And I was laughing because I have been spending so many months being like, I just want stability. It's really hard to be a gig worker. It's really hard to be constantly looking for clients when you have financial anxiety. And I think it's so funny that the universe was like, okay, how about this? And I had to be really honest with myself about, this isn't my purpose. My purpose isn't to do corporate communications for a tech company. That's not what I am here to do. And I know it because I've written this book and people leave me the most beautiful, heart-wrenching messages saying it's changed their life. I know my purpose. So opportunity shows up, but we have to make sure it's aligned with the reason we're here. The thing that makes us feel most impactful, most fulfilled when we do it. And when you look at divine timing in that matrix, in that equation of preparedness meets opportunity meets purpose, maybe it can feel a little less painful or personal that it's not happening right now. And maybe you can start to believe in trust and faith around those three things.
I need to do my negative Nancy thing one more time because I'm really curious how you're going to answer this. What do you say to all those people who have spent their lives like working towards a goal and it doesn't come? Like a lot of people sadly die without living their dreams or hoping that something was going to happen and it never does. So they allow the space for the timing to come into play. What do you say when, because sometimes I'm like, well, this is just not going to happen for me.
I'm so happy you named that because there's a way that our inner critic, driven by our ego, likes to produce other evidence of other people's lives when we start to get a little hopeful because it's trying to protect us. So just notice that, by the way. So when you notice yourself starting to just give up to trust and faith and kind of, okay. And then the thought goes, well, what about other people's lives? I just want you to notice that voice is trying to introduce cynicism to protect you. Other people's lives, you know nothing about. And you have no idea if the things they wanted came from the truth of their spirit and their purpose or from conditioning around what success looked like.
True.
From keeping up with the Joneses, from making mommy and daddy proud. You have no freaking clue. So if it's someone else's life, it's none of your business. Your business is your life.
And it's people who probably haven't been able to identify their true purpose.
That's right. Bean, this is turning into a really long episode, so I'm going to wrap us up so we can quickly get into
it. Bring it home, girl. Bring it home. Land this plane.
I like to always tell this story of Vera Wang, you know, the wedding dress designer?
Yeah.
You know that she wanted to be an Olympic figure skater?
Oh, no. That's so cute.
She wanted to be an Olympic figure skater. That didn't work. She went to Vogue and was working at Vogue. Vogue rejected her as an editor. That's the thing she really, really wanted.
Right.
And then she, in this moment of like just frustration and just bleh, was getting married and designed her own wedding dress.
Oh,
out
really?
Of just necessity. And is now one of the most well-known, iconic, prolific wedding dress designers.
Oh, wow.
And has always said, can't even imagine this not being my outcome. Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So with that, we hope that we've inspired you to think about timing a little bit differently and to just give yourself some grace. Take a deep breath. Exhale. Go into the river. Let it flow. Show up every day. Do the best you can do. Know that you're being prepared for the opportunity to arise to live your purpose. Ready for our listener question?
Very.
All right. This one's interesting. It's actually a very positive question. Which I love. So I will skip all the niceties. Thank you for listening. This person says that they really enjoy our dynamic and our banter. So Bean, keep bantering away. They say, I'm feeling guilty about my own level of awareness. I feel like the more I become aware of my role in co-creating my life with the universe, the more things are working out in my favor. But then I talk to someone who feels so powerless and I feel guilty.
Aww.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, immediately I go to, this isn't a you have it all and they don't. There's space for everybody to have. You don't need to feel guilty about your own success. In fact, pay attention to the fact how you found your success, share your knowledge and share your way and support your friend when they feel down. This doesn't have to be you or them.
Yeah. I think the guilt is a real thing when we want others to be awake to our knowing that we are accountable, that we are co-creators.
Right.
Like, I think that when you feel powerless, there's a sense that it's happening to you. And yeah, there are so many systems that make shit happen to us. No shit. But there is also a co-creation that happens. And I, the first thing I felt when I saw this question was, I like felt into this person's soul journey. And I felt, oh, well, that's because your soul has had so many goes on this merry-go-round, has lived so many lifetimes of lacking the consciousness of co-creation, that you've evolved and chosen to be more conscious, to be more aware of your role and your power of belief and perception creating your reality. And because your soul has chosen that, the universe is showing up to give you evidence.
Right.
But that doesn't mean everyone's soul has chosen that in this lifetime. And that has nothing to do with you. That has to do with their soul's journey. And I think the best way to honor other people's soul's journey is to just witness it with them without pity or judgment or comparison. Guilt is comparison. So know that your soul and your friend's soul has picked two different journeys to learn two different lessons. And it has nothing to do with you. Friendship, love, connection is about just being alongside people as they navigate, as we all navigate the ups, yeah, the downs, the craziness of being on this planet right now.
Touche.
Touche. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to us. We hope that you took something away from this episode. And if you did, please remember to share it. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode of Signal. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.